Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love. And our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. We are continuing our question and answer series with more of our listeners' questions. Let's see how Dr. Bloom answers today's question. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The Bible stands like a mountain, towering far above the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can.
Now, I believe that we are saved solely by the grace of God, nothing added or subtracted. To be quite honest with you, I think that Abraham, before the law, David, during the law, read Romans chapter 4, were justified not by the law. They both broke that law. They're justified by faith. The Bible tells us very plainly. Nothing added, nothing subtracted. Jesus Christ did all the work for salvation. I receive it. I receive His work, His salvation, through repentance and faith. As Acts 20:21 says, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I am kept by grace. I don't keep my salvation. He does. Jude 24 tells us. However, we must understand that in the same paragraph that contains John 3:16, it also contains verses 20 and 21, which speak of darkness and light. Now, repentance is willingness for the Lord to take my sin away. We are not saved to sin freely. That is a doctrine born in hell that says we have liberty, so don't be legalistic. The devils believe and tremble, but they don't repent, according to James 2:19. Grace and liberty must be applied to the Spirit. It shows we are no longer under the control of those things that we should obey and the lust thereof. Grace and liberty speaks of the freedom to do that which is holy and acceptable unto God, not those things of the flesh. And by the way, Romans 12:1-2, where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that is, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That word service, in its Greek form, sometimes is translated worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the question to ask yourself is, drinking the beer, how, as you sit around, drink the beer and do those things, how is that related to glorifying God? How is that spiritual? And how is that a transformation of the spirit and not conformed to this world? You ever watch beer commercials on television? Do you finish watching a beer commercial and say, boy, that's spiritual, man. That just built my faith in the Lord. Boy, that just really illustrated the Word of God and its promises. But the only promise it illustrates in the Word of God of how stupid it makes you act sometimes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16 also tells us that He has saved us from that former life. We're not to take on the fashion of the old life, but rather we are to be holy. God is commanding us to be holy in body and spirit. 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us the same. We're going to be called into an account of it one day. What a shame that so-called Christians are using God's holy grace and liberty to justify going, for example, to Mississippi to gamble, drink, and whatever vices. Do they really think a holy God is honored by that? Now, as far as beer or wine is concerned, New Testament Greek word is oinos, and it is translated in our King James as wine. Oinos can be anything from the juice while it's still in the grape to 100% proof alcoholic beverage. The context of a passage will tell if it's intoxicating beverage or grape juice. For example, in John chapter 2, when they ran out of wine, Jesus makes them wine by turning water into wine. Now, remember, this is a wedding feast in a small town. May be possible the entire town is there. But the wine, the amount of wine that Jesus made, would be approximately 120 gallons. Now, would Jesus make intoxicating wine so that after everyone had drunk all the other wine, they would drink this and really get stewed? Think of the Lord's Supper. Why do we use unleavened bread? Because leaven speaks of sin. It is symbolic of sin. Leaven is a product of decay. Jesus didn't want anything that would imply sin was ever in his life. What about wine? Alcohol is a product of fermentation. In other words, it's a product of decay. It too would show sin if it were drunk in the process of the Lord's Supper and show that his blood was not pure. So the question to ask oneself is the Lord Jesus Christ holy? Did he at any time give way to the flesh over his holiness? Now, to imply that Jesus drank wine is using the same argument that the liberal crowd uses when Jesus speaks of his love for the disciples. And they say it shows homosexuality. Well, that is blasphemy. And so, too, it is to imply that my Lord was anything less than holy. Do we take then the over 600 commands of the New Testament and say they are commands and therefore legalistic? No. 1,000 times no. Yes, our beloved King James translates words to wine, and I don't think you see grape juice in the Bible. But that doesn't mean it didn't mean grape juice in some places. In the Old Testament, it does refer to the juice while it's still in the grape, and it's called wine. Do you think that while it's still in the vine, the grape is still on the vine? Still alive, and to call it, well, that's intoxicating wine? Don't be ridiculous. Finally, we talk about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Do they remember that story? The Sadducees and Pharisees tried to change the commandments so that they did not have to apply it to their day. Specifically, the commandment of honoring father and mother. What were the Sadducees and Pharisees doing? Weren't changing the commandment. They were giving a new version of the Bible. And Jesus rebuked them for it. Jesus also had to correct them about the other commandment concerning the Sabbath. They tried to change that the disciples could not take something to eat it off of the vine. Yet, they could walk over 1/2 mile to get an animal out of the ditch or pit it had fallen into. In other words, they were giving liberty to their fleshly desires. But they had stretched that these men couldn't just pull something off of a vine and eat it right there. They weren't harvesting as harvesting. They were just eating it as they were passing through the fields. And the Lord says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. The Pharisees and Sadducees, and I like the old illustration. I don't know who came up with it first, but the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And they were sad, you see. But they were the ones who were the new evangelicals. They were trying to take away the fundamentals of the faith. And they hated Jesus because he testified that their deeds were evil, John chapter 7, verse 7. And Satan hated him because in the wilderness temptation, Satan also tried to corrupt the use of the Bible, and Jesus answered him each time, it is written. So the Pharisees would actually be in tune with the position of your two friends at work. Yes, we do have requirements for our deacons, our pastor, teachers, and we even make them sign things that say so. because it will expose those who would try to sneak in unaware, as Jude 4 tells us. So I hope this answers this brother's question, and I also emailed him a sermon on Calvinism so that he would be equipped to answer people in the future. And I want to say once again, thank you folks for writing us your questions. Normally what I do, when you write me a question, I try to answer that, whether it's by email, if you email me, or just a regular letter. I'll send you a letter. If I have materials to send, I'll send materials with that. And we try to answer the letter as best we can, and I'll give some time to it. And yet, I'll try to get it done as quickly as possible. And then if we use it on the air, as we have done here over this last week or so, we will not use your name, but we will use your question. Sometimes we will refer to a state, we might refer to a country, but we will not refer to you individually to protect your privacy and any problem, like with this last one, the man who was working with somebody, and they may even be listening to our broadcast and would recognize the question, but that's all they could do is recognize the question. And if you have questions, write us. We want to hear from you. And my friend, the Lamp and Light Radio Ministry is a ministry that its goal is to teach the Word of God as it is to men as they are. We want to, as Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. Our announcer, Jerry Banks, does this freely. All this announcing he does himself freely. Dick Vaught, who takes these things after I'm finished with them and straightens out all the things that I've messed up and makes it sound good on the radio. He puts hours and hours upon hours of work onto this radio broadcast, and it's ready for you, and he does it freely. Brother Mark Hopper, who has set up our website and has done so much for us in that area, that without him, I don't think that we would have a worldwide ministry. I think God sent him to Ocala, Florida, and the Central Baptist Church that we might have this worldwide ministry. And I tell you what, he still does everything out of his own heart. He does it freely. And all the time that's put in is because people want you to have the word. One of the best things that you can do to show your appreciation is to write us. And you may not have a Bible question, and you may not want to ask a Bible question, but just write us and tell us that you're listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast, and it's a blessing to your heart. And your question may be just like a couple of the questions that I shared with you in this series where people were mad at me and I said some things, and I still like the one that said, shame, shame, shame on you. But that's all right, because we're not ashamed ourselves of the gospel of Christ. Well, I see that my time is up, and I want to thank you for listening today to the Lamp and Light broadcast. Please ask your friends to listen, because that's how the Lamp and Light grows. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Years shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.